All right, thank you very much. I appreciate all your help. Okay, good evening, everyone. I call the May 25th, 2021 council meeting to order. The following options are available to access this meeting. You may access or participate in the meeting using the Zoom application on a smart device or on a PC via the web at zoom.us and clicking on join a meeting in the upper right hand of the page. The web ID number this evening is 978-8786-9794. All this information is also provided on our website this evening. Anyone wanting to participate via telephone only may call one of the following numbers. Non-toll-free numbers. While most mobile phone carriers do not place an extra charge on customers for toll calls, it is up to you to check with your carrier concerning potential charges you would be responsible for. The first number to join us this evening is 1-646-558-8656. The next number is 1-301-715-8592. The next number is 1-312-626-6799. The next number is 1-669-900-9128. The next number is 1-253-215-8782. The next number is 1-346-248-7799. Again, all these numbers are on our webpage as well. Free, toll-free numbers from anywhere in the U.S. You can join us by calling 1-877-853-5247 or 1-888-788-0099 or 1-833-548-0276 or 1-833-548-0282. Please note, if you're experiencing trouble connecting via one of the toll-free numbers, please try the next number on the list. You will then need to punch in the web ID number, which is 978-8786-9794 on your touch-tone keypad. While everyone joining the meeting will be muted, if at the appropriate time during the proceedings you wish to ask a question, you may, if using a smartphone or a PC, click on the raise hand icon. The meeting moderator will then ask for the participant having raised their hand to be unmuted. After the question, answer, and further discussion, the participant will be muted again and will need to click on raise hand icon or punch in *9 to ask another question. If phoning in, punch *9 on the touchtone keypad. The moderator will indicate when it is your turn to ask a comment or a question. Again, all that information is on the City Council website page this evening. At this time, I ask the clerk to call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Snappy?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
9 present.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask the Council Pro Tem, Donna Travis, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Am I on or off? I don't even know.
We can hear you now.
Yeah, we can hear you, Donna. You muted yourself after that.
Councilman Snappy, would you like to lead us in the pledge as well?
Sorry.
You're muted again, Councilwoman.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Oh.
Oh,
Thank you very much. And Councilwoman, sorry I put you on the spot there. At this time, okay, I would.
I'm sorry. I'm standing up. I couldn't get control of that little button. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you. At this time, I'm going to ask the City Council Solicitor to just give us a brief update on the executive orders of the Governor's Office. If I could call on Kyla at this time.
Sure. Hi, everybody. So I believe that the question was about specifically Executive Order 2140. That executive order specifically references and requires public bodies to provide alternative accessible means for the public to remotely access our public meetings. And that order remains in effect until this Thursday, May 27th. You know, we're not really sure about whether or when that will be extended. It has been extended for the past year and a half. So as of today, it is still in effect until through Thursday, actually.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay. This is a continuation of the public hearing that we had that we started last night. So I'm looking for a motion to continue and open the public hearing this evening. Motion made by Councilman Howe, second by Councilman Foley. We'll do a voice vote. All those in favor of opening, continuing the meeting, open hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, any abstentions? Okay, so now we are going to start at the top of the agenda here, and we're going to go with the legal department.
Mr. President, that's page 11 of your budget, and we have Mike Russillo, City Solicitor here, who was my unofficial guide for 10 years at the league. I used to call his other clients and find out what he thought, and I would tell everyone that that's the way we should go. So he was a good free guide for 10 years, and now it's good to see he's getting paid.
Very nice. Well, welcome, Mr. Russillo.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back before the City Council, Mr. Chairman and members of the Council. We have a proposal before you. I just want to briefly describe the background and the rationale for the proposal. Over the past 4 months, from January through the end of April, the legal team has averaged approximately 65 hours per week on behalf of the city. That computes to an hourly rate of $127.98 or $128 an hour. Under the proposed budget, that rate would rise to $143.34 an hour. I will tell you my goal was $150, but I'm very happy with the mayor's proposal. I hope very much that the council considers it and the reasons behind it. The other municipalities I work for, the rate actually averages between $195 and $250. So I'd be very happy with the proposed budget with the new hourly rate. And if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure the mayor and the city is keeping you very busy.
That they are.
And just a reminder to members of the council, if you would like to ask a question on any topic, if you could just use the raise your hand icon in case I miss it. I can't see all your faces all the time. So at this time, are there any questions on the legal department's budget from members of the council? Okay, seeing none, are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the legal department's budget? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the legal department's budget? Hearing none, we will move on to the boards and commissions.
Yeah.
You want me to present it?
Yes,
go ahead. Actually, if there's just any questions. This will be page 22 of the budget. And that will be followed by the mayor's office. A personnel page on boards and commissions, page 14 of the personnel supplement.
Okay, so for boards and commissions, these are mostly members that of the public that are serving on, say, the land trust, the cemeteries commission, the planning board, the zoning board. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. The entirety of this budget is stipends that are paid to appointments on different boards and commissions, but also there's a woman who works in the police station for the Board of Public Safety.
Okay. Are there any any questions from members of the council on the boards and commissions budget? Okay, seeing none. Are there any members of the public that would like to ask a question on the boards and commissions budget? Any questions from members of the public on boards and commissions budget? Okay, hearing none, we will go to the executive budget.
Right, Mr. President, it's a very simple budget. You have any questions, feel free to explain it.
My first question is, what page is the executive? Page 11.
Sorry. we have this handy dandy guide here. 11 and personnel supplements on one.
Are there any questions from members of the council on the executive budget? Are there any questions from the council? Are there any questions from members of the public on the executive budget? Are there any questions from members of the public on the executive budget? Seeing none, we will move to the animal shelter budget, please.
Sure. Will be 24 and page 15 on personnel. So. Increases just under 1%.
Okay. Any questions from members of the council on the animal shelter budget? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the animal shelters budget? Any questions from members of the public on the animal shelters budget? Okay, hearing none, we will move to the next department, which is the fire department. However, I believe we're going to have Mr. Schaefer speak to us before we have the fire department present.
Thank you. I've got a couple of 3 points I want to make, and Phil has going to put a couple of slides up. You can sit down. Jason, just give another. Oh, Lindsay, okay. The one with the colors on it. This slide is the Cranston Fire Department budget. The reason I wanted to put it up for two reasons, and I hope, and I'd like to have a little presentation on this to the Finance Committee, maybe next fall sometime. But the orange colored numbers, and it may be hard to see, every city in the state except Warwick includes their health benefits, their pension contributions in the regular budget. And I know that Jason has been concerned about that because when we've had high overtime, you're not even seeing the savings on the other side. So I just want to point out, this is Cranston's budget. You could go to Pawtucket, go to Woonsocket, you could go to Providence. They've all included the employee benefits in the budget, not only for the fire department, but the police department, public works department. And then the state is now requiring us to report in our audit report costs with the distribution of benefits in each department. So Lynn goes through something when we do our audit, is a thing called the MTP2, which stands for Municipal Transparency Portal. It was one of Governor Raimondo's initiatives. And Lynn goes through a process of reallocating the benefits, pension, health benefits, into each department so we can meet the audit requirements. So I think it's something that we should consider going forward, allocating them so that we're doing it the same way as the other big cities. Now there's many small towns that do it the way we do, where you'll see later, you'll see a whole pension account, you'll see an employee benefits account. That's the first point I wanted to make. The second point I wanted to make is going back to that, stay on that slide for a second. is the yellow line. Those are the overtime amounts. And for instance, they go back to 2016. And then this is the slide that was in front of the Cranston City Council 3 weeks ago. And you'll see the overtime amounts. The actual in 2020 was over $6 million. I think we're projecting $5.7 million this year, that rate chase income. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see this in a little more detail with the two or three other communities that I was able to get comparable information. Let's just look at the fiscal year 20 block. So you'll see that Cranston had a regular uniform firefighter payroll in 20 of $14,400,000, $6 million in overtime, which was 42% of the regular pay. And you'll see Newport, Pawtucket, and Warwick. So the kind of conversation we've had and press coverage Warwick has had, and one political figure said, we're the poster child for a problem statewide. And that's the case here. Cranston has a worse problem than Warwick. It's endemic, and a lot of it relates to the state laws that have been talked about, the language of the collective bargaining agreements, but it's universal. All the major fire departments in the state, very high proportion of overtime relative to regular pay. And Jason can calculate exactly how he can reduce the overtime. We're going to get into that in just a minute. By increasing the number of firefighters, which also increases the health benefits and other overhead costs. So I just want to make this point that we are Warwick has become the poster child just over the last month for this overtime situation, but it's across the state. The last thing I wanted to talk about was we've noted an error in this budget. There was a number was dropped. I've corresponded with the council president and the mayor, and I have talked to the council president about this and Bruce. It's about a $280,000 error. A number was dropped. It was instead of 230,000, it was 32,000. We've corresponded. We had talked earlier with the council president. We over budgeted an item in the mayor's office. There's an over budgeted item in the fire department for some professional services that they're not going to have to use. We've come up with a couple of other solutions to keep this budget balanced. It's not a $1 million problem. It's not going to be a slide on that, but you can take that off now, Phil. It's $170,000 problem. We've come up with a solution for it. We've communicated with the mayor. So that's what I have to say. And I'll turn it over to the chief and the assistant chief.
Thank you. So Chief McMichael for the Warwick Fire Department. Joining me is Assistant Chief Jason Umbenhauer. Our proposed fiscal year 22 budget represents a 2.5% increase over fiscal year 21. I thank Mayor Bocosi and his administration for addressing our staffing issues that face the department. This will reduce overtime and force ordering of our members to cover the vacant positions. This is a much needed relief. We are extremely grateful for that. It has been over 4 years since the department has added new firefighters to the department, and over 50 members of the department have retired in that time. To get started, I'll open up to any questions.
10%. You can open up for questions.
All right. Thank you, Chief. So my first question is on staffing. What is the staff right now? What is a full complement? What would that look like? And how many firefighters are eligible to retire this year? Looking at the, and then we'll talk about the additional hires after that.
Council President, we have 175 uniformed firefighters right now. That's including the administration. We also have 7 dispatchers and 2 civilian members of our department. We currently have 21 vacancies. That includes the 20 private positions that we look to fill this year and our assistant fire marshal position as well. As far as eligibility to retire, we have 39 firefighters that are eligible to retire. Realistically, we identify 10, most likely a smaller number, closer to 7, that we may see leave this year.
Okay, and we're proposing to hire how many new recruits?
So we're proposing to hire 22 new recruits, which would bring us to be able to bring up 22 new above what we are at right now, would bring us to 204. That would give us 2 floaters on each shift. Our minimum manning is 184, so 46 per shift times 4 shifts plus our 12 administrative people in headquarters, that's the uniformed administrative people, brings us to 196. We identify 2 floaters on each shift as a safe number to give us some cushion room that will help us reduce the amount of overtime each year. That would be that would bring us to 204 people with the 2 floaters to each shift. At one time, the department had many more floaters in each shift. We don't really see the necessity for that. We're paying a lot of extra money in pension costs, as well as healthcare costs that we don't necessarily have to be paying. So we identified 204 as that spot that we want to try to attain.
Okay. And tell us on overtime, that is the big issue that we hear about. Tell us what causes the overtime. You mentioned, minimum manning. Can you just flesh that out a little bit for everybody?
Absolutely. So with the required 46 firefighters that we need for each shift, anytime we go below 46, we have to backfill those with somebody that is paid overtime to fill that shift. So as of right now, we have overtime on all of our shifts on a daily basis. And that is why we have the increased cost and the spike in overtime that we have seen escalate over the years. And as a result of not hiring anyone in over 4 years, we have not added any members to the department in roughly 4.5 years. And in that time, we have seen over 50 retirements from the department. So that large number of retirements without the addition of any new members of the department is the cause of the increase in overtime.
Okay. And as you mentioned, when we talk about minimum manning, that means that those shifts need to be filled. You can't go, all right, today we only have 3 members at this station for this shift. If the number is 4, it has to be 4 by state law, whether it costs overtime or not. Correct, Chief?
That's right, Council President. So if 46 is a minimum right now, if we had 2 floaters on each shift, we'd be at 48 members for each shift. So we would have a cushion on each shift of 2 people to allow for sick time or vacation time or whatever the cause might be for a vacancy. But once we get below 46, it triggers overtime automatically.
Correct. And if you can't get volunteers for to pick up the overtime, you have to call people in. Correct. And they have to be filled. So you can actually order people in to fill shifts.
That's right. And that's the situation we find ourselves in right now. We're ordering on almost a daily basis where members do no longer want to voluntarily take the overtime and we have to order them to work. It's been a daily occurrence now for some time. And when there are some other ramifications of getting to that level of staffing as well, we also tend to see an increase in injuries. The same firefighters are working excessive hours. That is when we see an increase in our injury rates and overtime having to be spent to backfill those shifts as well.
Okay, thank you, Chief. I'm going to open it up to members of the council. Just put, raise your hand if you'd like to ask a question. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. My first couple of questions have to do with the projections for this current year. So let's see. Well, I guess first and most generally, with the projections and as compared to the year to date, I'm not sure exactly at what point in time we're looking at for the year to date, because for some departments on some of the different items, it seemed to be the quarterly numbers. So the year to date would represent essentially the first three quarters. But I was wondering if that's the case here, if year to date is really through the end of the month of March of this year, or if year to date means some other period of time.
Sometime in April, yeah, is that correct?
It was beginning in May, year to date, but the projections I did at the end of April.
And I just have,
can you hear that?
Lynn was very involved in this, and we, she can just speak to, at the time we were finishing up the budget, we took expenditure to date. So it was not, it would not have been March 31st. It was sometime later than that.
It was,
I believe, early April.
Was it early April? Could I think it was mid-April.
Sometime in April was the expenditures to date. And it should be noted, and we'll make sure we are accurate on that next time around. But I believe throughout, we're talking in that period of mid-April is the expenditures to date.
Thank you. That's helpful. It helps me. The biggest number here, of course, being the overtime with 2021 total fiscal year projection of the 5.7 million and change, where the year to date as of that point in mid-April would have been the 4.8 million. So I just wanted to get a better sense of that. If since that time that the year to date was set as stated in the books, if it looked like the we were on track for the 5.7 million, or if it might be less, or if it might be more.
So as of yesterday, that the total of the overtime between the two lines, pension one and pension two, is just over 5 million, 5,026,000. So if we project that out through the rest of the fiscal year, we're still looking at 5.7, 5735. So very close to what then projected back in night.
Well, thank you. I had also noticed that there were a couple of odd numbers with the projections where, and you know, I understand that these are much, much smaller line items. It's not something that, you know, is of much concern to me, but I just had some concerns with the projections in general because, for example, on the first line, 35-100, I see that the this year, year to date, is listed as $21,947. And then the projection is actually $912 less. And that line item is sick time and other leave, which is separate from various other sick time line items. But I would anticipate that the number would go up rather than down, because for it to go down implies that the fire department would receive some sort of reimbursement from the employees, unless there's an explanation for that involving transfer from one line item to another.
So the money for that item comes from the salary line item, where we don't budget for the sick time and other leave. The payment for that comes from the salary line item for 35,100.
The most current projection for that line is going to be about 26,500.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. Let's see. Then my next question would be on the proposed budget, shifting gears to the 2022 budget. I know that there was the mention as to, let's see, I believe it was line item 35-116, unused sick time. And that's where that there was that number that was dropped. I believe, was it stated that it was going to be projected or rather proposed at 232,000, or did I, I'm not sure if I have the correct number.
320.
Yeah, so they dropped the one by accident. So the actual number there should be 321,272.
321,000.
Correct.
72. Okay. And then
that was done in City Hall. That wasn't done by the fire department. And I apologize to all of you for that mistake. Ultimately, it's my responsibility. I went over it line by line. I didn't catch it. And I'm sorry I presented you a fraud budget.
No apology needed here. You know, I completely understand. It's, let's see, how many pages is the, I mean, just this general budget is 64 pages. Each page has up to, it seems 30 plus lines. So I can completely understand how one digit can be missed. But, you know, kind of shifting away from that, the issue with, you know, making sure that the, you know, the $300,000 is reflected. I suppose that my concern with that line item is that while there have been some years in the recent past where that number, that 321,000 would be fairly close to some recent years, such as 2020. So the 321,000 isn't so far from the 2020 387,000, but in both 2019 and this year projected, the number in that line item is significantly larger. In 2019, it was 909,000, and our 2021 projection is 811,000. So I'm not sure if we have something to be concerned of in that if 2022 resembles more like 21 or 19, then it could be a difference of 500,000 or 600,000. And I'm not sure why the number had varied so much in 2019 and 2021 from what it was in 2020 and what we expect or hope it to be in 2022.
Sure. So in the unused sick time, there's two components of this budget line. One is the amount of unused sick time that each active member uses. So once they hit that threshold of 140 days, they get paid out for a percentage of their days at the beginning of the calendar year. That's what we put into our budget. That's a number that we can realize and we can estimate based on average usage and the amount of people that have sick banks that are near the maximum. What we can't account for is retirements. So the other half of this is the whoever, if a member retires, that entire bank of 140 days gets paid out as a percentage per the contract. So we can't budget for retirements and potential retirements. So we budget in that line item for active members that we anticipate paying out on the annual basis. But as people retire, that number is going to go up because that's where the that payout or retirement goes. It comes out of that line item. So depending on how many people retire is why you see that fluctuation year to year. It has to do with the retirements and whether or not those members have an accumulated sick time in their retirement bank, in their sick bank when they retire.
And let's see. I'm trying to also think about the timeline in terms of you know, the fire contract and exactly which fiscal year, if firefighters were to retire at a relatively higher rate before the new contract. And, you know, that's purely speculation. Sometimes that happens at a higher rate and sometimes obviously it doesn't, but, you know, that is one item that, you know, is not entirely foreseeable right now that could, in that regard, present a potential risk for increasing that line item. If I understand correctly, and this is very rough math, I'm not, and I understand that it would vary from one position to another, although firefighters who have been active for, say, 25 plus years, generally speaking, they often climb the ranks. Typically, if a firefighter retires and cashes out at the 140 sick days, would that tend to be per person, perhaps typically north of $100,000 per person?
No, not. I think the average is 140. I'm going to speculate on that number. I haven't looked at that number recently, but it's definitely well below $75,000. I don't think it even comes close to $100,000.
Thank you for clarifying. I was just naming a round number because obviously 140 days is a lot. And I know that generally speaking, when firefighters reach retirement age, it's typically, you know, they've had time to be able to climb the ranks. But thank you. That that number helps to keep things in perspective as well. So I understand that the $321,000 is something of an assumption that, you know, it's not including or speculating upon retirements occurring. So if retirements were to occur, that's basically, you know, just a risk posed that would tend to, it would still come out of that line. It just wouldn't, it's not something that's budgeted for. And I understand the rationale in not budgeting based on speculation, if I'm more or less stating that accurately.
And that's what we've always been instructed to do, is not try not to speculate on potential retirements for the budget, but actual numbers that we know.
Right. And I see some of my other colleagues have their hands raised. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here. They may have more poignant questions on some of the other points. So I'll yield the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. I'm just going through, I mean, everybody's very concerned about the overtime and I'm looking forward to hearing how we're going to save more on that. But as I go through auto and vehicle maintenance, that went way up. Are you doing all the service? A lot of times I know when you come to the council, we hear that a lot of the items have to go out if it isn't our DPW taking care of it. So why is that going up now?
Councilwoman, I'm just trying to find that line item.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 330.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So that line item did go up significantly, and that was based on the cost that we spent this year because of the aged fleet, the condition of the fleet. The money we've had to put into the rescues, the engines, because they're older. We had a couple of ladder trucks go down this year. Ladder one is the used vehicle that we purchased that we've had to put some significant funds into that truck to keep it going. We've also purchased some used apparatus out of this account to be able to build up our reserve fleet somewhat. So because we have exceeded the regularly budgeted amount for that line item, we tried to forecast and budget a realistic amount that would reflect the condition of the fleet and the amount of money we're having to put into it. And this is one of the reasons why Mayor Bocosi's administration has addressed the condition of the fleet and the lease purchase program that we're embarking upon to update our fleet, to purchase the rescues, one of which, as you know, Councilwoman, that you just came before you last week, along with other vehicles that we're moving to acquire to update our fleet so that a newer, more modern fleet will result in less repairs, less downtime, and overall, in the long run, will prevent us from having to throw good money after bad, if you will, at these old vehicles.
Good, good. So I'm assuming the ones that you can save will be like backup, because I'm looking forward to the new vehicles. But when I see that increase was so high, I was trying to figure out if that was going to be to fix some of the old ones that we need help with.
So that is the plan, is that the vehicles that we're currently using will be kept as reserve, in a reserve status, to serve as backup when our newer vehicles, even the newer vehicle is going to be down sometime. It'll have to have preventive maintenance and things of that nature. Being able to have an adequate reserve fleet will allow us to keep the units in service while their regular vehicle is being serviced.
That sounds good. Good. The other one I have is 35-270 communications. That seemed to go up a lot too. And we've been back in 2021, it was 35,000. Now you're talking 50 grand. What is that leading to? Do you see it? 35.
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. So this reflects a lot of our equipment in our fire alarm office, where our dispatch center, if you will. Much of the equipment that we received in there over the years was updated and acquired from REMA, and REMA took care of the costs associated with that. And over the years, we've seen that scale back. And more of the cost is being put on the local municipality now. And that's what the reflection you'll see in that budget as we update and need to replace and repair this equipment. We're not seeing the funding coming from the state level anymore. More of that is falling on the local level. So, and that is the increase in that line item that you see.
And so that's like in the dispatch area, you said?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good. And the last one I have is training and education, 35-301.
The hiring for our training academy, the hiring of our new firefighters that we'll be sending to the training academy is reflective in that cost. That cost takes the... it's a cost that we will have to pay to the State Fire Academy for the training of our academy class.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Sinapi.
Councilwoman Travis stole my questions and their follow-ups, so I guess I'll just ask, or more like a statement. It is worrisome to hear about the involuntary overtime. For those who don't know, it's actually a problem in the state in general. If you Google it, you'll see it pop right up with the prison. This causes bad burnout and a lot of turnover. So I'm glad to hear we're going to be hiring additional firefighters to help minimize any involuntary overtime. The more we can do that, the better. And I guess more a question out of curiosity, 35,417 hydrant rental. How were we able to shave off about roughly 20 grand on that one this year?
That number was is negotiated by Public Utilities Commission. That's the rental of the hydrants from Kent County Water Authority. We've been ongoing negotiations over the last years on the excessive cost of that. And there was an agreement a couple of years ago to reduce that fee. And this is, we're at the lowest level of that fee right now. So we pay about $164 for every Kent County Water Authority hydrant in the city. So it costs us about $73,000 per quarter to rent those hydrants from them.
Got it. Glad to hear they budged. All right, that's all for the moment.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. I just want to, before I ask my questions, dovetail on Councilman Sinapi's statement about the mandatory overtime. Most of you know my son is a lieutenant on the Providence Fire Department. And the stress of mandatory overtime is not just felt by the firefighter, but his family, who at the last minute is being told that dad isn't coming home today. You have to find alternate childcare. The wife or spouse has to stay home. So there's a number of costs involved in that. That being said, my question is about the overtime. Chief, am I correct that the overtime that is earned by the firefighters does not go into the computation for their pension? Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
So there is a savings by paying a firefighter you currently have on the job overtime as opposed to hiring a new body onto the force, correct?
That's right.
I have my other question is, was there a school planned for 2020 prior to COVID?
No.
No, there was not. All right. And last, in 2020, how many retirements did we have?
Talking Councilman, calendar year 2020?
Fiscal.
Fiscal year. I would have to look that up.
We could certainly get you that number, Councilman. We don't have it handy.
Do you have a ballpark for me? Do you have a ballpark?
In fiscal year 20, I would say no more than 10.
Yeah, okay. My guess was about 7.
Yeah. All right. Probably on 7.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Foley. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, President. Chief, I have a series of questions, but I want to just follow up on Councilman Foley's question first. I believe you replied that you had 7 firefighters retire in fiscal year 2020.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's a
2021, right? That's what we're talking about.
Over the past fiscal year, roughly about that number. We can get a hard number for you, but that's just off the top of our heads.
Okay, and your total complement is 184. Is that what you said earlier tonight?
So the total altogether is 196.
What was the 184 that you
So the 184 is the number of firefighters required for the 4 shifts. The additional 12 are administrative positions, such as myself, Chief Ubbenhauer, Chief of Training, EMS, administrative uniform positions of that nature.
Okay. At the moment, I believe you said that there's 175 firefighters now, 7 dispatchers and 2 civilians.
175 uniform members, 2 civilians, 7 dispatchers.
Right. Do the dispatchers, do they count as part of the 196?
No, they do not.
Okay, so then the employee count, actual employees in the fire department, it's actually more than 196, right? Because the dispatchers, they're also an employee of the fire department, right?
Yeah, you're right. They're carried under our budget, yes, sir.
as well as the two civilians?
That's right.
So we actually have 205 employees in the fire department.
Yes, the I'm sorry, go ahead, Councilman.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, Chief.
So the 196, Councilman, referred to uniform members.
Right. No, I understand, but the other people, while they are not uniform members, they're still employees of the fire department, and they're part of the fire department's budget, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So when I refer to a department, typically I include all of the staff in that department, whether they're uniform, firefighters, officers, dispatchers, civilians, they're all part of the team and they're all employees of that particular department and they're all on that department's payroll. So what I'm looking at is a total of 205 employees. Okay. Chief, in this budget, you are, or the administration is proposing 22 new firefighters. When is that class going to begin, should this be approved?
We are currently in the interviewing process. We began our hiring process. We are slated to have openings to send people to the Municipal Fire Academy in October.
Okay. So in October, the class begins. How long is the class?
12 weeks.
So the class will graduate in January?
And then they'll have to undergo 6 weeks training for Warwick Fire Department specific training. That is a that is by contract.
Okay, so the doesn't begin until when in October? Beginning of October, end of October?
Yes, beginning of October.
Okay, so the class begins beginning of October. The class completes the end of January. During that time frame that they're in the class, are they considered employees of the fire department or the city?
They'll be employees, but during that training period, they cannot fill in to replace firefighter positions.
Now, I'm not talking about the 6 weeks training. I'm talking about the time that they're in the classroom going through the classes with the hopes of graduating successfully to get into the training. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, they will be paid a wage during that time.
So they are paid a wage during the classroom. Suppose they don't pass the class.
If they do not graduate, they won't be eligible to become Warwick firefighters. They would fail out. If it's early enough in the academy, we can replace them with an alternate candidate, if it's early enough. If not, if it was towards the end of their training, we would unfortunately lose that seat in the academy.
So maybe I don't understand what the class portion is. So when the individuals are in the class, I look at them as students, like as if someone were going to enter into a 12-week class to get your captain's license, as an example. You're in the classroom environment, you are essentially a student with the hopes and expectations of graduating successfully to get your captain's license. In this case, we're talking about individuals who are in the the Fire Department Academy with the hopes and expectations of successfully completing to pass and gain or earn the right to get into the actual training. So during this October through January time, I'm looking at these individuals as students, and what you're saying is that they are being paid something during the classroom session. How much is that something that they're being paid?
It's $15 an hour, right, Chief? $15 an hour is what we pay our recruits while they're in the training. That varies from department to department. Some municipalities pay more. Some municipalities pay them firefighter rate, the starting rate for a firefighter. We do not. It's a $15 hourly rate that they'll receive. We are on the lower end of the spectrum as far as what municipalities pay their firefighters in training. But $15 an hour is the rate that we will pay.
That we have. How many hours a week is the class?
It's a full-time academy. It's no less than 40 hours per week.
So it's at least 40 hours a week. All right, about $600 per trainee, I guess, per week. So now they come out and then they're in for 6 weeks of training, which will bring them through or into February, or essentially three quarters of the fiscal year. Fair to say?
Yes.
And during the training, the 6 weeks of training, what are they paid at that point?
I'm sorry, Council, can you repeat that, please? I didn't hear that.
Sure, that's fine, Chief. During the 6 weeks of their I don't know, maybe I'm using the wrong term, but there's 6 weeks of training after the academy. What are they being paid for a wage rate at that point?
The same. They'll still be in training during that time.
I'm sorry?
The same, Councilman. They'll still be in training for that 6 weeks. That's included in their 18 weeks of training. So it's 12 at the municipal academy and then 6 weeks locally here in Warwick.
Okay, so that would still be the $15 per hour then?
Yes, sir.
Through the middle of February, which again brings us through three quarters of the year. So in the budget, what are you budgeting for these 22, assuming 22 are successful through the academy and also successful through the training? What are you budgeting for a dollar amount for those 22 trainees?